You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannon, and we're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, career, or life. And we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes, to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. I want you to say this right now. I deserve to be successful. You do. And that's what we wish for you, lots of success. Now, if you tune into the show, you know I love quotes. And I get on the old internet and I start to look, search around, finding quotes that are hopefully appropriate for the show. So here's the quote for today. I have learned that people will forget what you said. People forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And that was from Maya Angelou. Now, Maya Angelou is an American poet, singer, and civil rights activist. She published 7 autobiographies, 3 books of essays, 7 books of poetry, and is accredited with a list of plays, movies, and television shows spanning over 50 years. Can you imagine? How productive is that? That is just awesome. Now, she lived from 1928 to 2014, and I do think as a quote and as the stuff that I've read up on her a little bit, I think what an awesome person she is. I've often said that life is you just never know what you're going to end up or where you're going to end up or what you're going to get, and I suspect most people think that to be true too. You start your life or your plans to work in one direction, maybe save money, go to school, but you totally end up somewhere else than where you started. Wait, did you just throw your plans away or did something happen in your life? So you decided to change direction. And that's always a really interesting question, I think. Did something happen or did you just throw everything away? I've always liked the quote from Forrest Gump's movie, Life is like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get. If you look at Maya's quote and the idea of what she had in her mind, that you're never going to get what you think you're going to get, well, you can still say that you never forget how you make people feel, or people never forget how you make them feel. Even the movie Forrest Gump is riddled with historical events, people's lives, feelings that create memories. So much so that you actually take a journey with all the characters in the movies, remembering and feeling what they feel at certain points in history. No matter the direction, whether intentional or haphazard, with every hello, with every handshake, with every nod, it is an opportunity to help people embrace a feeling, something to remember you by. I do wonder sometimes if the connection with people is becoming a bit of a lost art, especially when it comes to creating memories. Because the strongest memories generally flow from something you feel or have felt. And we know that there are industries that create memories. They do so through connecting with your feelings. So for example, in the service industry, if I say Disneyland or Disney World, chances are you know that they actually create memories, and they create those memories through creating or connecting with your feelings. Restaurant and hotel industry also does the same thing. Guaranteed, the ones you remember the best are the ones that attach to your strong feelings. Now imagine for a moment that you start your life in one place with a plan to discover that an industry, and you work in that industry, and then that industry starts to make you feel good, so you change direction. Decades later, as you reflect back on your career, you realize you've had an incredible adventure. So I was wondering, actually, who could I speak to today? Who could I actually connect with that would actually help us out in terms of talking about more of a career arc, the business that they're in, the personal lives, and the things that have actually happened? Someone who planned to maybe go in one direction but ended up in a completely other direction. So I thought it would be interesting to have an everyday conversation with a person just like you and me, someone who's built a career in the hospitality industry, waiting tables, working in the front desk, getting into management, and riding the wave of making people feel great. So I'd like to welcome Laura Barkman to the show today.
Thank you, Richard. Pleasure to be here.
You prefer Lori, right?
Lori, yeah.
Yeah. So just correct me if I say that. I have a Laura in my life. She's about to marry my oldest son, Matthew. So I have a wedding to do this year. And then I know several Loris and then several Lauras. So I start to go, after a while, I start to get confused.
Listen, I'll answer Laura, Lori, whichever. Doesn't matter.
doesn't matter at all. Strange way to start the show. Names are one of those things that, you know what, if I think there's anything I could work on, is probably making sure I get people's names correct all the time. Because sometimes I look at it and I can't even pronounce it. And it's just like, wow, how do you deal with people's names? But that's not the question we have to deal with today. But maybe we'll talk about that later. Laura, When we started to talk, you and I have known each other for a little while, but let's get started in just letting our listeners know a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about you personally.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, I mean, my career has been built in hospitality industry. So I'm currently the general manager of the Alt Hotel in Winnipeg. It's absolutely amazing. Outside of my career life, though, I'm married. I have two amazing kids. They're all grown up. Two adults. One is an electrician. He's followed his dream. It's funny. He wanted to be that since he was in grade 9. And my daughter, she's again following her own amazing path as well. She's a world traveler. She's 23 years old. She's visited over 20 countries. She's living the life. So.
She's living the life.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's interesting. My oldest boy did the similar thing. He used to say to me when I was 12 years of age. I remember walking around with Lake because he made me feel something. And he said to me, "Dad, I don't want to have a job like you. I don't want to work indoors. I want to work outdoors." And years later, I mean, when he was 18 or whatever, he got work outdoors so he could support himself to travel around the world. And it worked out for him. So
isn't it amazing?
You know, yeah, just sort of thinking beyond just sort of going 9 to 5 every day and working.
So it's interesting you mentioned that because when my son was in, I think it was grade 8 or 9, and we were asking what he wanted to be for Halloween, and it was supposed to be something scary. And he said he was the scariest thing he could think of was to be in a business suit and carrying a briefcase.
Isn't that hilarious? Yeah. Pinstripe blue suit, yeah. Red power tie, white shirt.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, same thing. I mean, that wasn't his path, but yeah. I just love the fact that both of my kids have found their path and they're following it. And I think that's exciting.
You know, it's very interesting. And I'm going to say this. I didn't know you had kids. I've known you. We met at Canadian Association of Professional Speakers.
Yeah.
I'm guessing 8 years ago or so.
Probably at least that, yeah.
And you've never told me that you had kids.
We don't talk enough. Maybe that's the problem.
could be. Maybe it was just all business and no fun. You mentioned that you are in the hotel industry, but I don't think that that's where you started your idea. That's my Newfoundlander coming at me. Your ideal sort of thinking and your career thought. Like, let's just back up. At what age did you start in the hospitality industry?
I was 20 years old.
Yeah, so I figured you were going to say 19 or 20, right?
Yeah.
But you had other plans.
You know what? It's interesting. I graduated from high school and I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just kind of, you know, I don't know. Both of my parents were teachers, so I thought maybe I'd be a teacher, but I wasn't 100% sure. I needed to put myself through university. I didn't have, I needed a job. So I took a job waiting on tables at Boston Pizza, way down on Pembina Highway.
So you know what we'll do when we come back? Yeah. We'll have you tell our listeners how that changed your life.
Sure.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Lori Barkman, and just want to make sure I got all the names right and everything. Just before the break, we were talking a little bit about how the hospitality industry changed your life. So maybe you can give us the 1, 2, or 3 on how the hospitality industry has changed your life. Because you started off in there and when you were roughly 19 or 20 years of age, you had this idea that you were going to go to university, but then you sort of changed directions by the sound of it.
I did. Yeah. I mean, I knew I was going to go and take some business courses. I wasn't quite sure exactly what it was, but I needed to find a job in order to pay for my university. So I took a job waiting on tables at Boston Pizza. Ugliest uniform ever, I swear. But I loved it and it was so much fun. And so I transitioned and I said, you know what? I think there's an opportunity for me in hospitality. My original intent was to build a career in restaurant. I took the hotel and restaurant course through Red River, graduated with that certificate. As part of that program, I needed to do 2 work placements and they were both in hotels.
Okay.
And so from there it was, okay, you know what? It's not going to be university. It's not going to be restaurant. It's going to be hotels.
So it sounded like me, it's a combination of, I'm going to say the school of hard knocks, okay, with some study in there.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but maybe you could explain that a little bit for us.
I mean, hospitality is really all about learning on the job. You know, you don't have to go to school or take formal training. It definitely helps, especially if you want to build a career in the hospitality industry. But really right now in the role I'm in, when I'm looking to add people onto my team, I don't necessarily look to see if they're in school. If they are, that's great. Mm. But it's really about the ability to connect and engage with people. In the hospitality industry, you need to be resilient. I mean, customer service, it can be rewarding, but also incredibly challenging at times. You know, 95% of the people that we interact with are amazing. But, you know, some people have tough days and they get off a plane and, you know, the plane's been delayed or who knows what's all happened. And
yeah, I've lost my luggage. Plane's been delayed. Got a flat tire in my rental, you know, and my suit just got splashed on.
Yeah.
Right. Or my best outfit got ruined somehow. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so, yeah, we all have crappy days.
We do. And, you know, and sometimes the person that is, I guess, the recipient of some of the frustration is someone who's working in customer service. So, you know, yeah, looking for resilience, looking for someone who can smile through the tough times, looking for someone who has that ability to just connect and engage and talk to people.
It's amazing that we could use some parallel examples here, because one of the very first, I'm going to call it pre-career jobs I had, I worked for Honda as a service writer. Now, today that would be called, I don't think it'd be called a service writer in today's, I think it might be customer service rep. In other words, in the auto section, so I was the guy standing behind the counter when you came in the door saying, your car is broken. I don't know who you are or anything, but nobody likes to come into a service station saying, I need to spend money on my car now. And everybody is, you know, is not in a good mood. So I suspect, let's just parallel that. I suspect from time to time in the front desk side of the hotel industry, you would experience those kind of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, fortunately for us, most people that are walking into a hotel are there because they're looking to have a positive experience, right?
Sure.
I mean, they're there perhaps
take care of me.
Maybe they're coming to a Winnipeg Jets game, right?
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
there's so many reasons that they're coming in. But absolutely, it can happen where someone's just, they've had a tough day. And in customer service, we're the first people that they talk to. We're the first person they see.
So let's, you know what, you actually, interesting that we both have opposite experiences in customer service initially. Now, I worked in the grocery industry prior to that. So we're going to share some career stuff here in our lives. But it's very interesting what you just said, because I gave an example of where people are coming through the door with a problem. They want you to fix it. You're providing an example where somebody's coming through the door because they're looking for a nice experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like there's some benefits to being behind that desk in the sense that you have the opportunity to provide that to them.
Absolutely.
What would you say to somebody who's new who wants to get into the hotel industry, maybe behind the front desk, where they could, something that they could do to provide a positive opportunity for a guest coming through the door?
You know, it's so not rocket science. It's simple. It's, you know, lift your head, have eye contact, big smile, and just welcome them. It's like you're inviting them into your home, right? Mm. Create that really positive first impression. That's it.
And that's it. That's sort of
it.
Positive first impression.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe in essence creates a bit of a memory for them right away. Because
absolutely.
Remember, we were talking about memories are attached to feelings. And so how people feel is what they remember.
Well, you know what? And I love that quote by Maya Angelou, by the way.
Oh, do you?
I really do. Yeah, it's something that that I've shared with some members of the team at the hotel as well. We at Alt, what I really like is we have this, we call it creating emotional connections.
Okay.
And it's about that. What can we do in order to make our guests stay more than just a hotel stay?
Mm.
I got this email the other day from a guest, and you know, I don't know it word for word, but basically what he said was, whenever I walk into your hotel, they know my name, they welcome me, I will never stay anywhere else because I feel like I'm coming to my second home.
Well, that's, well, and what, yeah, so that makes it extremely comfortable for everybody involved and everything too. That's actually a really great example of getting feedback from your guests and being able to share that with your staff. I'm assuming that's something you shared with your staff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, I mean, I wasn't the one that he spoke to personally. I'm not the one he sees every single day. So, you know, thank you for letting me know. But now I need to share that with the people who created that impression, where I am lucky enough to get that kind of an email.
Your present role with Alt, I don't normally go through titles, but what is your present role?
I manage the hotel. I'm general manager.
You're general manager of the hotel.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, how large is that hotel?
We have 160 rooms.
Okay.
And then we have a meetings space on our eighth floor, which can accommodate about 5,000 square feet.
About 5,000 square feet. Yeah. So it does accommodate. And is it more of a bit of a boutique type? Is that how you categorize it?
It's definitely boutique. Well, the number of rooms is perhaps a little bit larger than is traditional for boutique, but the style, the essence, and who we are is very much the boutique atmosphere.
Okay. So I think what we'll do is we'll take a We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I think we'll talk a little bit about the hotel industry and how it has actually changed from the time you started your career. Okay. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. You're hanging out with Richard Lannan. And yes, if you're tuned in, you know this should be Set for Success. We're talking to Lori Parkman, and we were talking a little bit about the hotel industry just for the break. I'm curious, I mean, you know, during our break, you and I had a little bit of a dialogue, and you said, you know, oh my gosh, I've been in this industry for 30 years now. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Absolutely.
You know, but I sort of said to you, I said, well, tell us about some of the things that have changed over the course of your career. I can't imagine everything stayed the same. So if we were to pick things, you know, out of the year, what are some of the key changes that you've seen? And then I'll just throw questions at you if I get stuck.
Well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, it was about 30 years ago, not quite. Probably around 30 years ago, I was working front desk at what is now the Delta. Way back then, it was the Holiday Inn Crown Plaza. I think it's been a couple of things in between. But, you know, front desk, we actually gave people keys.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, remember
that?
I mean, it was keys.
Your room. Here's your key.
You know, I worked switchboard in the back for a while, and I just remember this massive, I was terrified. It was this massive board with buttons, and we had to actually manually, put calls through to rooms, or if someone, we don't do that anymore. Things go direct. So someone who's working front desk, you don't have those massive switchboards. You don't actually physically hand out keys. The computer system for checking people in and checking out is just so much easier. We've gotten rid of paper. So there's just the technology has made the check-in and check-out process a lot simpler, more environmentally friendly, that's for sure. I'm trying to think, oh my gosh, too, I worked in the sales office. So after I worked in front desk, I transitioned, I moved into the sales office. And so I was putting together contracts for events that were coming up. And we kept track of all of these contracts or all of the events in huge, massive books. This is radio, so nobody can see how big my arms are going right now.
So Lori is 3 foot two, and her arms are spanning out 6 foot seven.
It's about that.
I'm glad you laughed at that.
You know what? It's mind-boggling because we had a big book for every year, and then, you know, all of the different rooms that we had would be in there, and we'd block it with pencil until it was, you know, a signed contract, and then we'd put a little bit more detail in there, but you still had to put it in pencil because you might need to erase it if there was something changed, right?
Yeah.
I had this big, massive printer beside me when we printed off the BEOs, the booking event orders.
That's thank you. I was going to say, I would have had that. I would have been, what's a BEO? Yeah. I would have no idea.
And I had to put a big glass case over the printer because it was so incredibly loud. You know, so now we rarely print anything. Most things are emailed. Again, you get way more information. It's so much more efficient.
I would think with the technology and the efficiency you're talking about, which is great, because we're going to talk business for a while, and then we'll start talking personally a little later on. When you think about that, I often talk about business intelligence and artificial intelligence. I would think that you have a really good indication with the technology you're talking about now, who your key target market is and who, you know, who you guys really serve. Can you speak to like who you guys really serve based on the information that you have?
Who we really serve, our prime target market at the hotel is definitely the corporate business traveler.
Okay.
We're right in the middle of right in the heart of downtown.
Yeah.
It's a business destination. That's who we tend to market. Now, the fact that we can, you know, we have access to internet, there's so many different ways now for our business development managers to source and find information. You can go on to LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was doing sales, there was no LinkedIn. I think there was internet back then. But it was really just a lot more. I mean, I used to read newspapers, cut out information from that. That's where I would get my leads. It's changed.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because you and I have roughly about a 30-year career, right? Mm-hmm. Now, started a bit different. I mean, I've been working for maybe 40, but I really say my career started about 30 years ago. And there's a difference between having a job and a career. Mm-hmm. But I started my career off as a research analyst, and my boss would send me to the library to go through, I can't even remember the name of the books, but there was these set of books that you could go through that published all the names of every companies, mm-hmm. who was in charge in the companies and that. And he would have a requirement of what we'd have to go look for. And then I had to go through the library. I would spend a day or two or three days at the library just getting information out of these big books so that we could, you know, do our business development stuff. I mean, it has changed. You don't have to do that kind of stuff anymore.
You don't.
You know, which as a young person in their career, that was sort of cool because I wasn't in the office. That's a whole other story. And he was really cool about me wearing blue jeans and a t-shirt. So I just blended in. Well, I blended in, right? Yeah. You know, and that was sort of important given the city we were in at the time. But it has changed a lot. I mean, there's been a lot of things that have really changed. If you could think of an advancement that you'd love to see in the industry you're in right now, is there one that you'd like to maybe mention?
Wow, that's a tough question.
I know, I just caught you off guard.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, make me think.
You know, I think that the industry itself, we've advanced a lot. Technology,
sure,
obviously,
sure.
But I mean, I think there's more opportunities to do that. But saying that, we just have to be so careful because we're dealing with people's lives and personal data, right?
Yeah.
I think it's just continuing to explore ways to improve the efficiencies, but not lose the engagement piece.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, because often when I do get into business conversations and that, you know, people often say, well, we want to decrease our costs, increase our productivity, increase our sales, improve the bottom line. That's a very business thing, but they don't play nicely together, right? So you can increase your sales, but your productivity just goes out the, you know, mm-hmm. out the door, and your costs all go up because you have too much sales, you know, and I think people miss that. So when I hear people talk about, well, efficiency and effectiveness is really great, but we can't lose the people component, that's a balancing act between the two.
It is. You know, I mean, we're in the service industry, and there's definitely some people who, you know, when they check in, they want to be in and, you know, to the room in, you know, 2 minutes or less. And they're not looking for that conversation dialogue. And then as, you know, as service providers, we need to make sure that we're providing the service they're looking for. But we can't lose that. And it's not just from a guest perspective, but also from a team perspective. We
sure.
are in a people industry.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what can we do to improve productivity and efficiency? But we can't lose the connection. I'm a firm believer that the service I provide and my department heads and managers provide to our team members is the same type of service they're going to turn around and provide to our guests.
So it sounds to me like you really like connecting with people, okay? What do you think that's inside you personally that allows you to connect with people?
I think it's curiosity.
Okay, curiosity is a good one. Why curiosity?
You know what? There's so many stories out there.
Yeah.
And you know, we tend to feel we know somebody based on how they present physically, perhaps how they look. And I mean, I'll admit it. You know, we all go there sometimes.
Oh, sure.
But
sure.
But you know, what's the story behind
the individual. Yeah,
and so, you know, just asking questions and being curious.
Yeah, just being curious about their lives. I suspect that actually slides very nicely in with your area of creating memories or just really good customer service, that curiosity. The reason why I asked that is that I just sort of felt that, and I know I caught you, I could see your mind working. Oh my gosh, nobody's ever asked me that before. But I figured that it might be a really good lesson learned for somebody who's young, thinking about getting into the hospitality industry. You know, it's great to say you got great people skills, right? But are you curious about other people is a whole other thing.
It is, absolutely. I mean, you know, a lot of us have the ability to talk,
Sure.
You know, we're not shy. Yeah. We're not introverted. Well, actually, I am an introvert, just saying. But we're not, yeah. I'm not shy by any means. But I think it's when you're really curious and you're interested, genuinely interested in the other person, that's when that real engagement comes through.
So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Lori and find out where her curiosity is going to take her next. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. You're hanging in your hat today with Richard Land on Set for Success, but you should know that already. And the other hat is actually from Lori Barkman. Did I get it correct?
You got it.
I got to make sure I get the name right, you know? I paused there for a second. I don't know why. I was like, I know you and everything. I always hesitate with names. It's just a Richardism. We're going to call it a Richardism. My friends in universities had lots of Richardisms. We'll put it down there. Curiosity is a pretty big word for you, you know, just in the last segment. And I'm glad I asked you that question because I think I'm a bit curious as to Lori personally and, you know, what your next journey is going to be.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, it has been an amazing 30 years, 30 plus years in the hospitality industry. I've loved every moment of it. And I'm planning on being here for a few more years. But I also know that it's time to transition into something else. And so that's where I'm at now, about a year, 2 years ago. Hospitality is also a very stressful industry at times.
Very stressful industry.
And I was tired. I had no energy. I had put on a lot of weight. I wasn't exercising, a whole bunch of those other things. And so about just over a year ago, I made a big decision and I changed myself physically.
Physically.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to say this, and I want to say it respectfully, you look awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. You do. And I'm comfortable in saying that with you because we've known each other for about 8 years. And like literally, even during the break, you and I were talking about your hair color, for example. And we jokingly said, I used to have brown hair. And I said, yeah, I know you're a blonde now, right? And it looks great on you. The physical fitness side of the equation, I mean, that's a pretty big investment. Right? I'm going to say investment, but you change whatever words. So what got you motivated to get started? And then sort of what was that journey been like? Like, let's take a little bit of a transition here.
I like the word investment.
Okay.
Because it's not necessarily, I mean, there's some financial too as well, but it's a time investment too, right?
Yeah, investment's a big word. Yeah. Investment's a big word. Investment is no longer just means money.
No. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Exactly. So, I mean, for me, it was really, I mentioned it before, I was tired. I had no energy. I have a demanding job and I felt like I wasn't really able to be at my best. And I decided, I knew that a lot of that was physical. Physical wellness also impacts emotional. I mean, there's so many different components to wellness. Physical is one piece and it impacts the other. I could go into all the details. There's seven dimensions, blah, blah, blah. But
okay, so I'll throw mine in and I'll put it in the simple one. I figured it's about mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, the three.
Yeah.
Mind being the intellect, body being the physical, and the spirit, you could call it your soul or your inner self. So nice and simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I started with nutrition and, you know, changing how I ate. Plain and simple, right? I mean, cutting out the processed, eating clean, choosing, you know, I'm not going to go into
the details.
No,
let's give an example. Yeah. Because cutting out processed, for some people, that's like a big thing. They don't even understand what that means. And then eating clean, those are big concepts, right? Big types of things. So let's give a short example of what eating clean might look
like. Spend time on the outside of the supermarket.
Yeah, that's always a really good advice, right? All the good stuff's on the outside rim, not on the inner aisles.
Get the veggies, get the fruits, get the proteins. You know, I mean, there's focus on that and it can be really simple to cook. I mean, I was kind of scared at first going, I don't have time for all of this. But reality is it's not that hard. You have to plan, plan it out for sure. And then I also took the extra step of going to a gym. I worked with a trainer at first. I was terrified. I remember walking in going, I'm so not a gym person. I'd never been there. And just work and fitting in regular exercise. And it's had a massive benefit to me. And again, not just physically, but I sleep better. I manage stress better. I swear my kids, my husband and the people at work like me better because it's so positive. We've actually started a gratitude challenge at work because it's also about mind, as you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
I mean, stuff happens, but if we can focus on the positive and be grateful for what we do have, all of that has a big impact on wellness
It does. Overall. It does. You know, and I know one of the things I've had to teach myself, so I don't mind sharing this stuff, is what you think is what you feel. What you feel is how you act, and how you act is the results you get. And so sometimes I have to go through a period of time to changing how I think, right? How I think is how I feel. Did I do that backwards? It might have been the other way.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And it's amazing there are exercises you can go through because you can't think positively all the time, right? I mean, the idea to be a positive thinker all the time is like some people are naturally, but I don't think most people are. No. You have to put exercises or a system or process in place. And
absolutely.
That's sort of what works for me. I'm hoping you'll share a little bit of information with me. And I'm going to ask you, and if you're uncomfortable or you don't want to, then say, oh, I don't want to say that, but make something up. I'm going to ask you some things.
Okay.
So roughly how tall are you?
I am 5 feet tall.
5 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So at the point in time when you decided you needed to get fit, I suspect just like me, because you and I have a very similar story journey here, mm-hmm. we had to lose X number of pounds.
Yeah.
What would you say you needed to hammer out?
You know what? It's interesting.
If I can put it that way.
Yeah. I don't actually weigh myself.
Okay. There we go.
So I can tell you where I started.
Yeah.
And I knew that it was about 40 pounds over.
Okay. 40
over where okay. I should be. But for me, it's not about the number on the scale, because I'm also working to build lean muscle.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
lean muscle weighs
more. Heavier. Yeah, it's
so,
heavier.
So, yeah. I mean, if I only go by the scale...
Yeah.
But I can tell. Okay, I can tell. It's been about 40, 42 pounds.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how much of that's fat? I don't know, because I've also put on a lot of
lean you've
muscle.
Also put on some lean muscle,
yeah.
right? And I get that. But I think, and thank you for sharing, because I believe there's always listeners out there that, you know, they want to just trim 10 pounds or mm-hmm. 20 pounds, but then there's the 40-pound situation, right? And I think when people share that story, I'd like to think it inspires somebody else to say, you know what, if they can do it, I can do it too.
I think that's the one thing I've really loved is I have shared my story on some of my social media channels, and I have people telling me that you're inspiring me. Because of you, I'm getting up in the morning and I'm doing my workout. Because of you, I'm eating my spinach, whatever that is.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever it might be.
And I think it's amazing.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I recall reading something on social media that you published, and it was something about being physically fit. I don't remember what it was mm-hmm. now, but it was something about getting lean. And I just thought it was awesome. I think there might have been some goals or something around. I'm not sure. Gosh, it was just a while ago, and I apologize. I wish I'd written it down now. But if we're looking at it from a whole healthy life experience, mm-hmm. because that's what we're talking
yep.
about. What are you hoping to do next with this?
I've got two goals. One is a very short term goal. I'm entering my very first bodybuilding competition.
Get out of here. Maybe that was the one I read. Your very first bodybuilding competition.
Yeah, I'm in the bikini competition. Scares me.
Oh, yeah.
Like crazy, right? I didn't wear bikinis that small when I was young, like pre-kids.
Yeah, because bodybuilding is
yeah.
fairly...
Yeah, so that's
revealing.
Intense.
Yeah.
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 But that's not long-term. So for me, long-term is maintaining health
yeah.
and taking courses. I'm actually signed up for some courses to help other people who wanted start that journey, find their success as well
okay.
in regards to wellness. So yeah,
well.
Long
so
term.
That's your that's sort of your long
that's,
term.
That's my next
that's
my
your
next step. Yeah,
your next step in your career.
Yeah,
that's awesome because it sounds to me like when we talk about a career arc and you and I talked a little bit about playing with that. You know, it sort of starts off in one area, thought you were going to go to school, end up in the service industry in a very stressful industry, but you rode the wave to that. And really, it sounds to me like you're going to take at this point in your life. Transition that at some point in time, but still you'll use your service industry background to work with other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love working with other people.
What a show we've been having. You're an awesome guest. I really appreciate all the sharing you've done. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they can get a hold of me. My work email address is just say lbarkman, lbarkman at alt hotels.ca.
Okay.
Or you can reach me, my cell, probably easiest on my cell, 204-995-5836.
All right. If you had a final thought, 10 seconds, what would it be for our listeners?
You know what? Continue to reinvent yourself. Be curious.
Okay.
And just have fun.
Just that's a very, very healthy attitude of life. You know what, Lori, thank you for joining me today for Set for Success. You're an awesome guest. I also want to take this opportunity to thank my listeners for tuning in. If you have a question, an idea, a thought about the show, richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I want you to remember something, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.